by our listener members and by the Palace Market in downtown Point Reyes Station. Information at palacemarket.com. That's palacemarket.com. And at 5 p.m., this is KWMR 90.5 Point Reyes Station, 89.9 Bolinas, 92.3 in the San Geronimo Valley. We are listener-supported West Marin Community Radio, and we stream live and archive online over at kwmr.org. And we do have an app, if you're interested, for both Android and mobile, iOS, and that allows you to listen to KWMR just about any place. All right, that's enough from me. It's now time for Epicenter. This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. You can hear Epicenter at 5 p.m. on KWMR or listen to recent archives at kwmr.org. Well, I'm Jeff Manson, and as usual, I am here engineering for Dennis Rodoni, who is here for his once-a-month, always illuminating Epicenter segment. Good afternoon, Dennis. So glad to have you here with us.
Hi, Jeff. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Good. Really excited about the show today. Having newly elected Damon Connolly, our assembly member from Marin and Sonoma, join me today on the conversation. So I'm really excited to get into that. So Damon, I think you're there. Welcome.
Thank you, Dennis. Great to be here.
So you've had quite a week, and it's only Wednesday. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how your week's gone. And I know it started last Friday with you resigning your position on the Board of Supervisors so that Monday you could take a new oath up in Sacramento. So tell us a little bit about your week.
Yeah, so first of all, really excited to be on the show and hitting the ground to represent communities in Marin and Sonoma in this new role. So I'm tuning in right now from Sacramento. I was able to find my new office, and I'm sitting in it now. We're busy hiring new staff, and absolutely, as you mentioned, we got sworn in at the state capitol on Monday. Amazing experience to have family there, new colleagues, supporters made the trip up, and it was really just an amazing experience to go through that. And now we're hitting the ground running.
That's terrific, Damon, and congratulations again. We're so lucky to have you representing us. And I think that, you know, this week will be quite interesting. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about how this is shaping up and what you're thinking about, you know, your first couple of weeks on the job, what that might be like.
Yeah, no, we're getting right into it. And even backing up a little bit more, it was very interesting that 2 days after Election Day, right, which was a Tuesday, on that Thursday, we were summoned up here right away to engage in what was a speaker's battle in the making over who was going to be the speaker of the assembly. So as a newcomer, that was kind of eye-opening. But interestingly, there are actually 20 of us coming in as new assembly members, which is a full 25% of the legislature in the assembly that will be new. We navigated that issue. We came up with a good resolution of the speakership fight, so to speak. So what I've been doing now is hiring staff, and that's both in the Sacramento office here, but just as importantly, in the district. So we're going to be right upstairs in the Civic Center with our main district office, and also have a presence in Petaluma and Santa Rosa. We're putting together a bill package that's going to be covering a lot of the issues that I ran on that will be no surprise to our communities given our needs. And so working with staff members to develop that right now as well. We got sworn in Monday, as you noted, and the legislature will not meet again until January 4th. So this is traditionally a time period where a lot of the things I just mentioned can happen. Developing language for bills, meeting new colleagues, in addition to kind of finding where the elevator is, so to speak.
Terrific. And I know most of West Marin probably interacts with your Civic Center staff, so I just wondered if you had any names yet of people you'd be working with there.
I do. So some of your listeners may be familiar with who's going to be my district director, because she's been filling that role very well for the last several years for Assemblymember Mark Levine, and that is Melissa Apulia. So Melissa will be based in San Rafael at the Civic Center, but covering the whole district. We have a new district staff member who will be serving folks in Marin County, Aiden Lynch, who was on my campaign and did a great job. We are keeping Anna Tamayo in Sonoma County. She was serving Assemblymember Levine as well. We're looking to hire another field rep for that part of the district. And then really excited about my Sacramento staff. Aaron Vad is coming on as chief of staff. He is a Mill Valley native who grew up in the district and has actually been a chief of staff for the last several years in Sacramento. So he'll be able to hit the ground running in that role. We have a legislative director, Michael Gonzalez-Dyer, who will be a great addition to the team, also with experience in that role, serving a member who is now leaving the assembly. And also Christina Sanchez is our scheduler. So she'll be the point of contact actually with scheduling appointments both in Sacramento and the district. So folks will get to know Christina well.
Terrific. And I'll remind the public, you've only been on the job 3 days and you've already got a lot of things organized, which is really a big credit to you. I know it's not easy shifting from one political entity to another and moving up to the state. It's got to be something somewhat different. But you spent time at the state before. Why don't you talk a little bit about that and your experience up there in Sacramento?
Yeah, thank you, Dennis, in a couple of different ways. Back in the day, I worked for the California Attorney General's office, primarily under Bill Lockyer, who some listeners may be familiar with. And I was in a unit that came about after our state got gouged during the energy crisis back in the early 2000s with the likes of Enron and Reliant and El Paso. So was prosecuting those cases. We got billions of dollars back and some measure of justice. That really also was the basis for me getting very interested in other energy solutions, most notably with my environmental ethos around renewable energy. And that led to helping to start Marin Clean Energy and the CCA movement in the state. As you know, in our role as supervisors, and by the way, I loved every minute of serving with you and our other colleagues as my 8 years as a Marin supervisor comes to an end. A lot of what we do locally has a state component. As you know, so very well versed in working with the governor's office and legislators on different issues of concern to the county. And really what I ran on was that local perspective and to be a local voice for our communities as it relates to issues that we need to tackle on a statewide basis as well.
Terrific. And I noted that the governor called for a special session this week on gas pricing and profits. Would you like any comments you'd like to make about that and where you think that may be going?
Yeah, no, obviously I'm very interested in that. Not a lot has emerged yet. In fact, it was just a very technical exercise on Monday. The special session was convened jointly with the regular session. More details are coming out from the governor's office, and we're seeing coverage in the media. Needless to say, I share the concern around price gouging of our residents by big oil, some of the practices that we're seeing from that industry, the excessive profits, let alone the backdrop of just the environmental concerns and corporate responsibility concerns that I think are what is behind this special session. So, more details to come. It's something obviously I'll be very in tune with on behalf of our communities and interacting with you and other leaders locally as well as residents as particular bills come before us and we consider the best next steps to continue to hold that industry accountable and protect our consumers.
Thanks for updating us on that. I did read that there was not a lot of detail with what the governor was proposing. So I think he's going to leave that up to the assembly members for sure.
I think it relates to details like, what cap should be placed on profit levels. And my sense is it may be an even broader conversation, as I said, around just some of the issues with that industry.
Yeah. So when you get to the state assembly and the federal government and other higher forms of legislation, you always get asked, well, what's your priorities for your first 100 days? Have you had a chance to consider that? And would you like to share that, any of that?
Yeah, so not surprisingly, it's really going to be laser focused on the issues that are most pressing for our communities. Again, we're in the process right now of developing a specific bill package and language around that. But things like wildfire protection, making sure that our communities have the resources that they need to protect themselves, issues around drought and water and the climate crisis more broadly. Project Home Key is something that we've utilized effectively in Marin County to provide housing for the homeless as part of our Housing First strategy. I want to make sure that program continues forward and is funded. And I think what's really exciting for me around West Marin in particular is sustainable agriculture, what we can be doing to furthering that. And I think it's an issue that's shared by both Marin and Sonoma counties. Transportation infrastructure, issues like the Richmond Bridge, Highway 37, and, of course, housing as well, and just navigating that issue for our communities. This will all be with the backdrop, we're told, that we're now facing a $25 billion budget deficit. So the good news there is the state has socked away money as part of the Rainy Day Fund. That was very done with foresight, and I think that's going to help us weather this issue. But it kind of shows how our state finances fluctuate a lot. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that we had a big budget surplus. Now we're facing this deficit. So we'll have to address that as well.
And Damon, are you hearing in Sacramento that no one's really pushing the panic button yet about this deficit? Because there is some thoughts that we could recover pretty quickly from the deficit we're facing. Is it, and I'm sort of hearing that, wondered if you're hearing that too.
Yeah, I think that's right. So it's going to be a combination of, strategically using reserves that have been built up And then obviously navigating hopefully the recovery going forward as well. But at the same time, there's a lot of uncertainty around that.
And I'm really excited to hear you mention the Home Key program, because I do hope there's a Home Key 3, because especially on the coast in West Marin, we have a lot of homeless population there that don't fit very well into the Eastern Corridor Housing Home First and Care program, mm-hmm. and would love to settle in West Marin. So I'm hoping that if there is a Home Key 3, that the state maybe recognizes that smaller size programs may need some extra funding to run those programs so that you can have like a 19 or 20 unit Home Key project that would serve a rural community much better. But I think that the challenges around that are they're really hard to provide the ongoing funding for those kind of small facilities. One in my district that you know of is the Casa Buena in Corte Madera, but it's just a perfect fit for that community. So I just wondered if you wanted to comment on that.
Agree completely, and I appreciate your leadership in this area and working with you. I will be pushing hard to continue with Home Key because it's an example of success where a state program has truly made a difference at the local level. So it's going to be continuing to push for funding and breaking through any barriers that exist to enable local communities to take advantage of it. It's got to be combined with adequate mental health services to fully get people the help they need. Let's face it, no one should be living under a freeway or in a park, and Marin and Sonoma counties are not immune from that. It's clearly one of the biggest statewide challenges right now, and from everything I've heard, I think the governor continues to be committed to it, and certainly as one of your partners, I will be committed to that as well.
Terrific. Thank you for that. So you mentioned the Richmond Bridge, and I know you've been a strong proponent about the third lane of the bridge possibly being opened up for a carpool bus lane during the week, and wondered if you would talk a little bit about that and whether now as assembly member you have a role in that, certainly a role in that discussion, but whether there's something beyond even a role like legislation that could move that forward.
There could very well be, and you may recall we had a lot of success in moving a third lane forward on the lower deck for the PM or evening commute. That's made a huge difference in people's lives because we're really talking about our workforce, right? Teachers, healthcare workers who need to get across that bridge. So the idea is to do a third lane on the upper deck, utilize the movable barrier during the AM commute. There are a lot of stakeholders who are still pushing for that I think can be partners. So my role, in addition to continuing to be an advocate, would be there will be a funding piece. There will need to be infrastructure improvements to make that happen. There's some quick fixes that should go forward right now, and we need to continue to work with MTC, or Metropolitan Transportation Commission, and Caltrans around open road tolling, right, getting rid of the toll plaza, making sure that we're not just moving a bottleneck from the Richmond side to the Marin side, that those necessary improvements occur on the Marin side as well. So that could either be budget asks and or possible legislation. Time will tell. But I know that our education community is very interested, the business community, and, of course, the residents themselves who are stuck in that traffic.
Well, just to follow up about stuck in traffic, the California state goals on greenhouse gases are pretty I think by 2030 starting and then beyond to achieve some goals, but they're pretty lofty goals. So mm-hmm. How do you think we can continue to work to meet those goals?
Well, and as you know, in our area, transportation is the main source of greenhouse gases, in addition to just building. So let's talk about transportation first. One would be to greatly increase use of zero-emission vehicles, right? So the governor has set a fairly lofty goal of 100% zero-emission vehicles by 2035. I'm actually going to be pushing, and I'm not the only one, to accelerate that, to have 100% ZEV by 2030. To do that, because obviously that, I think, would make a huge impact on greenhouse gas emissions, we're also going to have the infrastructure in place to enable folks to do that. Secondly, right now, let's face it, not everyone can afford EVs. So we have to make sure that we have a robust secondary market, that we continue to have credits and subsidies to allow a broad cross-section of our communities to be able to afford zero-emission vehicles. I think we need to continue to advocate for public transit and make it seamless and usable for folks as a convenient alternative. Congestion's coming back, so I think the timing is right to do that. And I think another big push we can continue to make, as we have at the local level, is electrification around our buildings as well. And I know that's a big issue you're working on as well.
Yep. It seems like with transportation, the challenges right now are around the very large vehicles, like the large 45-foot buses, and then the very smaller buses that are more shuttle type. There doesn't seem to be a good option right now for electrification of those vehicles. Do you think the state can take a role in making sure that the manufacturers and start developing those vehicles so that we actually can move forward in those areas?
Yeah, so that's already started. There already are targets for that as well. They're fairly aggressive. I think we need to continue to push the envelope there. And I think the perspective is that as California sets these standards, it really serves as a national model. So what you're seeing already, for example, with the 100% zero emission vehicle goals is the large auto manufacturers are already changing as a result. They're accelerating what they're doing. So whether it's light duty trucks or buses or heavier duty trucks, continuing to set those timetables and goals and continue to evaluate those to try to move as quickly as possible is what we need to do.
So you're listening to Damon Connolly, our newly elected assembly member for District 12. I'm Dennis Verdoni, and I'm going to shift now, Damon, to talk a little bit about your job here at the county on the Board of Supervisors for 8 years. Wondered if you could share with us what your greatest achievement was, one you're most proud of.
So what I would say overall is just our response to the pandemic, if I had to think big picture, was the most challenging but most rewarding aspect of my 8 years. I mean, when you look at the scale of what we had to do with our communities, where it was protecting public health. And of course, Dr. Willis and his team were amazing to work with, preventing people from getting evicted from their homes, providing rental assistance, helping small businesses get relief. And as you know, Dennis, our colleague Judy Arnold and I took the lead on forming the Economic Recovery Task Force, where we literally every week were meeting with representatives of every chamber in Marin, West Marin, you know, every aspect of our county, and working through and troubleshooting issues with them. So I would say that's the main thing. But there are, county government is really where the rubber meets the road, and just the opportunity to make an impact on climate policy, wildfire prevention, including passage of Measure C, which we all worked on, as I mentioned, Project Home Key, and literally making a difference on the ground with programs like that. It was really a rewarding experience. I think it really provided the foundation for me to be able to come up here to Sacramento and be successful.
Terrific. And I know all those things you mentioned were really, really important during COVID and the COVID recovery. And I think I would probably identify them as the things I'm most proud of also.
Yeah, no question. I think you've been instrumental. One other thing is I think we really have tackled social justice in a major way with our communities. We're seeing, again, the rise of hate speech, which is really troubling, but directly calling that out, tackling it. The resolution I authored condemning anti-Semitism and all forms of hate speech that you and our other colleagues joined in also really stood out as meaningful work.
So I was going to ask you about Mary Sackett, who was your aide and is now the supervisor-elect in District 1. But I want to tell the listening audience that yesterday at 4 o'clock, the governor appointed her to the position so she could actually sit in on the final two board meetings. And actually, she was able to sit in on the housing meeting last night. Talk a little bit about Mary and your experience with her and as to whether you think she will continue to work on some of your priorities.
Yeah, Mary's amazing. I think she's going to be great for the community. And your listeners may not have known that, but so to appoint a supervisor, it's actually the governor, right? So I got sworn in and had to resign, let's say, effective December 5th. Mary was not going to get sworn in based on her election until January 10th. So the governor stepped in and appointed Mary effective yesterday so that she's going to be able to now hit the ground running. I knew Mary even before she worked as my aide more than 5 years ago and have always admired her. I think she's going to have a tremendous ethos around the environment. She's going to be a leader in climate. I think she's going to continue to serve the community well in navigating issues like housing and homelessness. So I fully expect her to both learn, but also kind of be in a position with her experience as an aide to really be a leader in short order on your board.
Yeah, actually, I saw her hit the ground running last night when she joined the housing element meeting and was really a star and really will represent District 1 really well. She's proven that and will continue to prove that. So you did a good job working with her as your aide. So Damon, almost time to wrap up here, and I want to invite you to come back in maybe 6 months so we can talk about what your first 6 months was like. But just wondered if you'd like to add anything at the end that you'd like to tell the listening audience of West Marin.
No, just really what I truly valued is, number one, just always the appreciation of West Marin and having that from the standpoint of serving as a supervisor. But during the campaign, even learning more about the wonderful community out there and some of the unique issues, and really appreciated learning more about the agricultural industry out there, ranching, and I truly want to be a representative for all residents out in West Marin, and I'm really looking forward to doing that. My door is always open. Please feel free to call me or come up to Sacramento and pay us a visit, or certainly our district offices.
All right. Thank you, Damon. Really appreciate it. We look forward to talking with you next year. Happy holidays to you and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs for West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming at kwmr.org. You can stream recent audio archives of all our Epicenter programs at kwmr.org.